And now, join Kevin Hart as he dives into the minds of some of your favorite celebrities. This is Gold Mines with Kevin Hart.
What up, world? You already know what it is. This is an episode of Gold Mines. What do we do here? Oh my God, we get inside the minds of amazing people, and today will be no different. Gems, we drop them. It's your choice to pick them up. I say this all the time. I don't force you to, but you should. Today's guest is another multi-hyphenate. God, I'm saying that a lot. I'm bringing a lot of multis on this platform. By multi-hyphenate, let me explain what I mean. People who aren't satisfied just being successful at one thing. People who figure out and understand that multiple revenue streams can be created and you can take full advantage of them if you choose. Today, we're talking to a comedian, a writer, an actress. Oh my God, a model. Oh my God. You know what? I gotta honestly say, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of this person because I feel like within comedy, there's certain people that do things really well. And there's certain people that master some of the most difficult, lanes in comedy. Well, this person has mastered the lane of not just like, I don't want to say sarcasm, and it's a satire. It's like it's the ability to be funny when funny does not exist. That's an art. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Z-Way.
Hello.
How are you?
Thank you for having me. What a great introduction.
I meant it.
Thank you.
I don't just say stuff just to say it. You know what I mean when I say like you've mastered the art of providing the funny when funny does not present itself. And funny with the straight face, funny with a grounded approach, especially in your style of interviewing. It was probably some of the funniest shit.
Oh, thank you.
Funniest shit that I've seen. There's a lot of people doing it, right? There's a lot of people making an attempt to do it. But everybody doesn't do it well. Everybody doesn't do the thing.
Your words, not mine.
Well, but you get what I'm saying. Like, and I don't have to go through a list of people that aren't, but your ability to be entertaining through normal conversation and also even within stand-up, like your approach to just comedy in general is dope as fuck.
Thank you. Wow.
Where and why?
Like trauma.
Okay.
Trauma and being able to process trauma through laughter.
Okay, that's we got the there fast.
Yeah.
We got there quick.
Yes, let's unpack this.
Yeah, she like
let the healing begin. Yeah,
it was quick. Like, normally it's a warm-up, but she came with trauma. Yeah, let's just talk about that. Hurt. A lot of shit.
Yeah, pain,
back there.
Duh.
A lot of pain in there. When you talk about trauma, I mean, how much are we talking about? Like, is there a significant amount of shit that you feel like you've been through where comedy has provided you an amazing outlet?
More Gold Mines with Kevin Hart after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We return to Gold Mines, hosted by Kevin Hart.
I just don't know. I'm an unserious person.
Okay.
And so I meet serious topics unseriously, okay, like a literal clown.
Okay.
So I'm able to like interpret it and process it by just not being too serious.
Yeah.
So any trauma I had as a child, I would always laugh.
Okay.
Because that's better than crying. Crying is embarrassing. Laughter is cool.
Family. What? Mom, dad, brothers, sisters, what? Yes.
Brothers and mother and father.
Okay. Yes. How many brothers?
Two brothers. I'm the middle child.
Okay.
Yes. So I love attention, but I also like to be by myself.
All right.
Was that a shocking explanation of a middle child?
Well, because you love attention.
Yes.
But you like to be by yourself. So you can't get the attention when you're by yourself.
Well, I like to, you know, it's like when you go in front of people and you're like, hey, everybody, look at me. Hi. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, okay, I have to be alone. I'm a serious artist.
Okay.
You turn around. You're like, please don't perceive me.
Okay.
That is the negotiation I'm constantly doing.
I got it. Okay. I got it. And your family, your brothers are doing what? What do they do?
My older brother is a lawyer. My younger brother suffers from the Gen Z malaise of being like, what is there to do in this political, like ecological climate?
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. What's the feeling of what you do? Family supports and loves it?
My parents don't have a concept of what I do other than when I'm on the Gayle King show, as my father calls it.
Okay.
So they know that I'm a comedian, but that's about it. It's not really, we don't really discuss it a lot.
Do they know your background in writing? And
yeah, they know that I mean, they sent me to college.
Okay.
So they understand that I can write, but my parents wanted me to be a doctor/lawyer. Mm-hmm. And obviously an entertainer is the opposite of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so they are excited for me because I'm not asking them for money. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. But otherwise they're just going with the flow of my job.
In college, what was the major?
I had like 12 majors. I started with like a math major.
Okay.
Like history, sociology.
Who majors in math? You went math?
I was like, math
Holy
equals money.
Shit.
I was like, math equals money. I want money. And then I hated it. Everybody was a nerd. And so I switched to like history or something like
okay.
that. Yeah.
Never played around in the communications or anything with entertainment or media?
No. Well, I ended up with a double major in film at
okay.
Northwestern.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. So then we're getting to it. So there was a moment in college where the decision came of what you wanted to do. The comedy presented itself during school?
Yes, but I was really into poetry. Okay. I loved poetry. I wrote poetry all the time. I studied poetry as well. And I realized that that there's no job.
I love that.
The poem isn't a job. And so I had to like quickly pivot to how I could apply poetry. And I thought comedy was the way to use like the love of words and like lyricism and like meter
okay.
in a way that at least I saw on TV.
When you say you loved poetry, I mean, by the way, that's extremely specific and dope as hell.
Oh, thank you.
Why? Where did that come from? Like, is it a family trait or a discovery?
I'm gonna be so honest. It was because I was sort of lazy, and poetry is the only like English where you can read the thing in class and still be able to analyze it with any sort of like
okay.
understanding versus you can't like fake reading a book.
Okay.
You can just read the poem in real time.
And then, give a fake breakdown of what you...
No, I'll understand it. I mean, okay. It's like two stanzas.
Okay.
Yeah. It's eight lines. If I can't pull that.
You're very smart.
I identify as smart.
No, you're very smart.
Oh, thank you.
And also, you know, when I've heard you talk and interview several times. You seem to be well-read as well. You know, are you a reader? Are you a lover of information and resources? Mm-hmm. Like, what's that? Because I pick it up and detect it mm-hmm. and have, but where is that coming from? Is it just a love for information, for education, for understanding, or what?
I love information. I don't forget the information that is interesting to me. So
okay.
I have like an encyclopedia in my head.
Got it.
And I watch a lot of interviews on TikTok.
Okay.
On TikTok.
Okay.
Sorry. And that just gets fed to me. So it's like old Oprah, old Wendy, like Kevin, Howard Stern, Andy, uh-huh. everybody. And then I read a lot of news.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just constantly like interrogating like
okay.
culture.
Okay. Yeah. Who inspires you, right?
Like, Oprah Winfrey inspires me.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. Are you kidding?
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
for
of
sure.
course. She's a big O. I call it Oracle.
The Oracle, yeah.
Oracle O.
Yeah.
Right?
She's like my biggest inspiration by far.
And because of what she built, because of what she's achieved?
Because of, she built the genre of the sensational interview mm-hmm. is what I believe. So what she was doing in the early aughts with like Tom Cruise, or she would even interview like this serial killer's parents who hate him. Yeah. Like, let's talk to them. And they'd be like, we hate our son.
I love the voice of the, it's not, oh, she's not doing Oprah, but it's the voice of the person that's telling you what Oprah's doing this week.
Exactly.
Yes.
And she'd have a wide range, like celebrity versus like random guy's parents. And they'd both be good interviews. Mm-hmm. And so I found a lot of inspiration in that and how I choose the people to talk to.
I love that.
Yeah, because it's like Chet Hanks versus like Andrew Yang.
probably one of the funniest. No, he said
you're choking.
The Chet Hanks interview, like I feel like Chet Hanks' popularity that started to present itself popped more after your conversation with Chet Hanks. Like you were extremely honest, but you're not honest in a way where it's degrading or just or me. It's like I can't even put a word on it because it's like. I remember you told him, you said, don't do that. He was doing something. And he said, just don't do that.
He was quoting Denzel Washington.
That's what it was.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, you're like, don't do that. And it's like your approach, to the funny is not where the traditional person would go. And I just see it. I see it. And I love it. Let's get back on track. So Oprah, right?
Yes.
You love Oprah, inspired by Oprah. Is it only Oprah? Does anybody else inspire you?
Well, I mean, I take inspiration from every, like the world around me. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about comedic influences, who else? Stephen Colbert was like a big influence because I thought he was so rude and iconic during that White House Correspondents' mm-hmm. Dinner mm-hmm. where he joked about shooting that guy in the face.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so I didn't know you could be rude. I was raised to be like a nice, good Nigerian mm-hmm. and comedy allowed me to realize that I could say what I think as long as I say it's a character.
Yeah.
And that had allowed me a lot of freedom. So that's another inspiration.
Yeah, you're so... It's so dope talking to you. Once again, I'm just telling you, like, your breakdown and just how you're explaining or defining the things you do. Like, it's so well thought out.
Thank you.
Right? I like that it's not just happening. Like, there's a real method to the madness here. And talking about a method to the madness, well, let's keep talking about the madness. I mean, a multi-hyphenate you are.
Yes.
So we talked about, okay, in school, there's the idea of comedy, the idea of writing, right? At this point, I think when you start talking about, holy shit, well, you know what? I'm good at this. I love this. But now I'm starting to realize that this is going to be my business, right? What was the doorway of opportunity for you? Like how did the late night writing opportunities present themselves for you early on?
Eating shit, can I say, can bleep out
you
that
can say
word.
Whatever you want.
Eating shit for years.
I love that you said eating shit and just said bleep it out.
Bleep it out. I don't want people to think that I'm anything other than commercial.
No.
eating shit for years and then... And then I would tweet. I started tweeting. Before,
define eating shit. What
like
does that mean?
Working at a barbecue restaurant and getting like harassed.
Okay.
While I'm like writing on the side, freelancing for The Onion.
Okay.
And then I started getting really big on Twitter before Elon Musk, an African American man, bought the website. Okay. And so that was like in 2012, 2013, like you could really get a job off of Twitter. And so I got a gig with Robin Thede and then Jesus Amaro.
Uh-huh.
And then it kind of like blew up from there slowly.
Okay.
And I came up doing live in New York as well. Uh-huh. So I just like hustled for a very long time.
Robin came before Jesus Amaro, right?
Yes. Robin was my first TV writing job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Deezus Amaro, shout out to both of them, by the way. You know, I know Deezus Amaro, I don't think that they're together anymore.
I think they got a divorce.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, on this podcast, like this is actually one of the only ones that is just a supportive, positive.
No mess.
It's no mess.
Mess free zone.
Yes, there's no mess. I don't partake in it. I don't engage in it. This is a flower giving podcast.
I love that.
It's all love. All love.
Good.
All
I love
support.
That.
Yeah. That's my defining like thing.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Is no mess.
No
clean.
Mess.
Mr. Clorox.
Clorox. Clorox. Write that down.
Is that a sponsor?
Clorox Kevin.
You're welcome.
Yeah. God damn
but
it.
It's reach out, KK.
Reach out to Clorox today. Because we don't do mess. It's clean.
Got it.
Yeah. I'm glad I thought of that.
Yeah.
That's what I do. That's
behind zero. Every man is a woman.
That's well, you know. You know what? Yes, this is very true, actually. okay, so the writing, you ate shit for years. Holy cow!
Yeah,
it's starting to get a little brighter. The writing opportunities present themselves. Great.
No, they didn't present themselves. I like reached out and grabbed them and didn't let go for dear life. Yeah, you have to like make opportunity for yourself.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think the doors that you got to go through in writing. I mean, of course, they're harder because it's more of a relationship. Business,
totally.
Right? And it's like once you are in and are connected, I think there's a baton that you can always grab that can get past to 100%. Do something else. 1000%. The show, right? You're talking about being inspired by Oprah. Oh my God, I loved what she was doing. Well, the opportunity did come up for you to have a talk show, right? Yes. I mean, at that point, I feel like the idea of kicking doors down has to now be one where you're like, fuck, it's happening. I love this. Like, this is, it's all coming like full circle right now as a talent, as an artist. I'm making and creating opportunities, right? This is a show that you created. This is your baby. I just want to know about your road to getting that to the final stages. Like, where did that start at? Was it just an idea and you just told your team that you want to pitch, set up, what?
Okay, so it started in 2016 as like a YouTube show. And then the pandemic happened and it became an Instagram live show. And then honestly, one week in America, I had three profiles in like really popping publications and I got a bunch of offers. And then the rest was history. We kind of figured out what was the best plan of action and my show was born.
Another example of someone that took full advantage of social media, right? You know, a lot of people have said to date, young talent, new talent is just like, hey man, you know, we feel like we get to a ceiling on social media. Like, and you know, I was having a conversation, I explained to someone, I said, it's not that there's a ceiling. There's a real, I think, mixed perception of stardom or potential stardom that social media presents. And the people that really pop off of there, they pop for a reason.
Yeah.
Like there's a real thing that some has when the world is gravitating to you and the thing that you decided to do. You're an example of that.
Oh, thank
right?
you.
You're an example of like a self-built fan base from the ground up.
Yeah, I never realized that. But honestly, if we're talking about my inspirations, Issa Rae she doesn't get enough credit for being for starting the YouTube to television show Industrial Complex with Awkward Black Girl that turned into Insecure, that turned into a very large business. And so I remember watching her work and watching her grow over time and thinking, wow, like this woman, you know, has it all. She seized her life up by her bootstraps and I wanted to be like her. And so I built my fandom because I saw someone like Issa do the same and I thought, well, no one's going to open the door for me, so I have to get an axe and chop it down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever met her?
Yes. Have we ever met? No. Have we met? No. I almost sold my show with her, but something didn't work out. Yeah, I don't think
you, you should. That would be a great conversation. Yeah. Just like she's cool as fuck.
Yeah.
Down to earth, grounded, but I just feel like your energy and hers, like there's a nice flow of possibility there. Like she's somebody that you should just sit down and talk to. And as you're talking about, you know, kicking down a door, using an axe to get it. The relationships that are created through the same way that you built the fan base and ground up, those reach outs, you'll be surprised as to how many people will be like, yeah, I would love to talk to you.
Yeah.
Like,
I'll email her.
You should. Well, I don't think you should email her.
I have her email.
Well, okay. Well, there you go.
I said, Kevin said.
You should. And she'll know that gives it a stamp of approval. You should actually say,
thank you.
Kevin said.
I'll say Kevin said.
Yes. I really do feel like there's a nice thing of possibility there.
For sure. I am such a fan of her work. And Montreal on her team is really lovely.
Ah, smart too. Well, let's keep it going. I love the flow. I'm a flow guy.
Oh, really? And that felt like a really smooth transition.
Well, you know, listen, this is what I do. They call me Segway Sam, okay? My segues are seamless. Seamless. There's no edge to my segue because it's just like a flowing All right, when I lost track, cut
you know
that out.
Guy died, right?
Did he really?
Yeah, he segued off.
Yeah, I heard he went off a mountain. Yeah.
No, you heard it because I just told you.
No, I heard it before. I did hear it before.
Okay.
The world talked about it. I remember that. And by the way, we shouldn't be laughing as we're talking about the
segue. Moment of silence.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Let's just. All right, let's be respectful.
You should be respectful.
Well, no, I just did. We just took the moment of silence. That was us paying our respects. I want to go back to just like, you know, the opportunity. Okay.
Yes.
The show comes.
Yes.
Wow, this thing that started here now progresses into this.
Yes.
Okay. The show ends, right? I'm no stranger to this world or this feeling. I was in that position where I had something and then that thing got canceled and I was like, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, what does this mean? What was that for you, right? What was that moment, or what did you attach to that moment at that time in your career, right? Where the show happened, and then after that, the show stopped.
What did I attach? It's weird because the way we shot our show was we shot it 15 days at a time. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of time in between seasons. Mm-hmm. So we had probably been like done with production and the edit for months when it all dropped that the show was canceled. So I was just like, damn, this news to me. And then you kind of keep moving.
Yeah.
Like you work on, I started promoting my book and like working on music and like modeling. Like I kind of have other things going on. Mm-hmm. So it was just another day.
That makes me happy to hear you say that and think like that. Because there's some people that, you know, take those moments as like, you know, real rocking times. Like you said, you had other things, the modeling. That's where I want to go now, because the world of modeling and you in modeling, it's fucking dope, right? Like we talked about a little bit before we started the podcast, but the comedian that is modeling, writing, acting, et cetera, I don't think has existed. I don't think that version of a hyphenate has presented itself. And like, you're doing it on a very high level. How did that come about?
Thank you. Yeah, I like to think of myself as like the Rosa Parks or Martin Luther King of comedian models.
Okay.
And that came up, I mean, having a symmetrical face, having beautiful parents, I would say that is how that.
Symmetrical.
I don't know. But I've always loved fashion. Since my whole entire life. And so I was always really close to that industry just as a fan.
Okay.
And then I got a call to walk the Mugler Couture show in Paris this January, and I jumped at the chance, and that kind of really took me off.
Random?
I mean, it wasn't random. It kind of perfectly aligned, but it feels random.
How did the call, like the call just...
I mean, I love Mugler. Casey is the creative director, is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I had been doing like modeling on Rowing Blazers, and then I did like an advertorial with like W Mag and Loewe, and had been doing these things piecemeal for the last couple years.
Okay.
And then that was when it really solidified. Like I walked a show in Paris, and then deals, you know, figured it out.
Well, now you're in it.
I'm a model.
The walk, it's all about the walk.
Is it? Cool.
Was there experience with the walk, or like did you say I got it? I don't really need to go through, you know, the walking tutorial, or did you?
Like, there was a walking coach who was there, and then I had also relied on my decades of watching America's Next Top Model.
Ah,
yes.
Okay. Self-taught.
Yes, self-taught. Exactly. You have to be a researcher first.
Yes.
And so those two things allowed me to walk the runway.
I don't know why I've never gotten a call.
Honestly?
I really don't know why I've never gotten a call. And I don't have an attitude about it, but I do feel like I've been a very fashionable man.
You are fashionable.
For a long time. And I'm not saying I'm trying to like, you know, walk all of them. I'm saying like
one show.
Call me one time.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Want to say like, Kev, we would love for you to walk in. Mm. And I can be like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I'll do it.
You'll do it.
Yeah, but I've never got a call.
And is there a brand? Is there a size?
At this point, I'm going to be honest with you. I'll take anything.
You'll take anything?
Yeah.
Anything?
I don't really give a shit.
Oshkosh?
I'll do it. put me around the right group of kids, I'll fucking do it. Okay? Just have me lined up to where I look like I'm in a big size. I don't want to do a 2T. I don't want to do a 2T, but if you put me in like a youth, like if I got like a youth jacket and some pants, I don't mind that. And I'm saying that with a straight face. I'm not, listen, my ego is not, I'm not too far in life or career to do a youth show. If it gets me to the next, if it positions me, like you said, you're in it. I wanna that's the only thing I haven't done.
Everyone starts somewhere. So I really believe that this is your pivot.
This is, but it could be. I just wanna add it to the world of hyphenate, right? I've done everything else. Let me do that. Let me do one show.
One show.
One show.
I think it's going to happen because you've put it out into the universe.
Well, this is my way of just saying.
How's your walk? Is it good?
Well, I haven't really worked on a walk yet. I haven't had a...
Can you walk?
I don't know if I honestly would be able to walk because I think I'm slew-footed.
Well, I also just saw someone carry you into your chair.
Yeah, that's another thing too. That, around here, I don't really have to walk. They do a great job of transporting me everywhere around here. The world of modeling and the business of it, I mean, are you blown away by what it is and how deeply you're embedded into it now? And is it like more of a priority than the comedy, the writing? I mean, you're an author now as well.
Yes.
Where does it sit on your list?
I mean, everything is equal on my list.
Okay.
Because I think all of my work influences the others.
Okay.
Like the book I wrote is derives from the interviews that I did.
Okay.
And like modeling, you kind of bring that into the performance that you're doing on a show.
The book is called Essays, right?
Black Friend Essays.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
And so
which is out. You released it in October.
October 17th.
Okay.
Released
there you go.
In stores.
It's available now.
AudibleAsWell.com.
There you go.
Flex. But yeah. All of my work influences, I don't have a preference. It's just what I'm feeling that day and mm-hmm. who's calling me.
Is there more that you want to do that you feel like you have not done? And if so, what?
Well, I wanted to be the Speaker of the House, but it seems like that job has been filled.
Okay.
So I don't know what's next, honestly. World domination.
World domination.
Yeah.
You said earlier on, you were like, yeah, you know, like, I have two beautiful parents and I'm from Nigeria. Do you go back?
Not recently, not since the pandemic, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And
but I really want to do Nigerian Fashion Week. How we should do it together.
Huge. What are you talking
about?
Could
you imagine? You're in Nigerian green. Are you a Nigerian man? You kind of look Niger.
This podcast is actually really big in Nigeria, too.
Is it really?
Yes.
You're in Nigerian green. Did you pick that for me?
Duh.
Duh?
You don't think I think about what I'm wearing when I have a guest? Duh. Come on. This is big. This is really big. The reason why I asked you, did you go? Because I was wondering if the world of comedy presented itself for you to do there.
My show is on there. And that's really cool. Yeah, that's really
cool.
That's
huge.
That's cool. So I would love to. I would love to perform in Nigeria. That would
that's
be so
actually
chic.
Really dope.
I would love to do Lagos Fashion Week. Like that would be so chic. That's my next frontier. Maybe that's my next frontier. World domination.
By the way, if we talk and discover, then you can do.
Exactly.
I think we just had a nice moment of discovery.
Yes.
And what you can do next.
Thank you. And I owe you 10%. So
I wouldn't take it.
Okay, thank you.
I wouldn't take it. This is my 10%. Me getting to talk to you in person after meeting you. We met, where were we at? It was at
the Gold Party?
Was it the Gold Party?
Yeah.
Yes. The Gold Party we went to, but the Vanity Fair one was first.
Right before, yes.
Yes, I saw the Vanity Fair one first.
Yes, that was a wild party, yeah.
Yeah, see, and I got to see you there, and I expressed like that I was a fan. I was like, yo, you're dope. And then you're like, oh, wow, that's so cool. And we talked for a second, and then after that, then the Gold Party happened after. But that's the first time
it was lovely.
That she got to meet you in person.
It was very surreal because I've watched you on my screen forever.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And in person, and be honest, was I smaller or taller than you thought I would be?
I think you were exactly the size I believed.
I guess I'm confused. How do I take that? Is that a good?
No, whoa.
You better, I'm not going. I know what that means.
You don't know what it means.
I do know what it means.
You actually fundamentally have no idea what it means.
I know what it means.
No, because we've been a fellow Nija in your room and she knows that you don't know.
She knows I know. Every day I come in here, Noel. Yeah. Yeah. What does it mean?
It means like trouble.
Trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
It's you can't say it a second after I say it. And I didn't do that. So you knew it.
I knew it.
Oh, yeah. Men.
Yeah. I know. Huh? See that? Yeah. You're shocked. You didn't know I spoke that many languages, did you?
They speak English.
Yeah.
They speak English. They were colonized by the Brits.
Yes. Okay. Like, what are we talking about? There's nothing better than not knowing something, but being very confident about what you don't know while giving a clear example that you have no idea. Like, there's nothing better than just being confident in ignorance. Yes, I know that. Duh. Absolutely.
Hey.
Of course. With the world now of acting, right?
Yes.
Me being a fan, and I'm saying, like, here, like, you're like, well, I don't know what I want to do next. The reason I was asking, it's like, well, is television or the idea of movies, anything of that, like, in your want, like, you're so creative. Is there a world where there's another version of a TV show outside the space and place of hosting? Or is there a movie idea? Like, as a writer, as a creative, have you thought about that or tapped into that level?
More Gold Mines with Kevin Hart after this.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of body plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch Bonnie plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Now more from Kevin Hart on Gold Mines.
Yeah, I have a couple. So I started as a writer. Mm-hmm. So I have a couple of movies in development as we speak. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if what gets greenlit. But
well, yeah. I would love to know what you're doing in that space. I mean, you know, Heartbeat is the entity that I sit with and that I have. And you're an amazing talent in partnering or figuring out ways to do things or to help you with. I'm all for. I would love to know what you got or what you're doing.
I think we should do a show together about a Nigerian scammer.
A Nigerian scammer. Did you hear the story about the guy from Nigeria that scammed the people into buying a fake airport? Did you hear about that?
No.
It's a true story. So he basically sold the idea of an airport that never existed for like $30 to $40 million from this guy in Korea. He bought what he thought was an airport.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was nothing. It was just like this big thing that they made look like a runway.
Yeah.
That wasn't. And he sold it as if it was land. Nigerian scammer.
Shout out. My people.
Our people. Right? Our. Yeah.
I wouldn't say.
Well. I mean, there's a lot of things that we could develop. I could play a scammer really well, actually.
I believe that.
Well, that just went left. What just happened? What just happened here?
Nothing. I'm just yes-anding you.
Yeah, but what did that mean? Why was there such a strong...
I believe in support in the you didn't say support. You as a scammer.
You didn't say support. You just said, I believe that, as if I've scammed in my life. Do I come off as a scammer?
well, what does it say your height is on any dating app or, well, yeah, or
then,
website?
Then all right, then I've scammed. What would you do if you saw like a website and it says 6'2"? It's like a picture of me and it's like 6'2", green eyes.
Oh my, oh, green eyes yeah. too. I would respect it, yeah. honestly.
I'm a cat. That's what I am. I'm a black cat. 6'2". I've never been on a dating app in my life.
Oh, because you're rich.
Well, that's not.
that's it?
Well, that's just. Have you ever been on a dating app?
Yes, of course.
Which one?
I'm a human being. None of them are. none of them sponsor me, so I won't name check it.
Okay, don't name check.
Yeah, exactly. You have to pay for that reference.
Have you had success on a dating app?
No, of course not. I was almost murdered multiple times.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dead ass.
Murdered?
I'm a woman.
Murdered?
Yes.
Okay.
He's shocked. This is every day.
What the fuck happened? Why are you so calm about it? We got to go to the police.
Call the authorities.
Yeah, we got to call somebody.
Yeah, dating apps are, they're a little freaky.
What do you mean a little?
You meet the strangest characters.
No shit.
You have to pray that they forget your address.
No shit.
Yeah.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah, so I don't do that.
I don't see how people are shocked like that. You know, when you go, oh my God, this guy on a dating app was crazy. You're like, yeah. Duh.
Well, not every one of us has people constantly throwing themselves at you. So some of us have to like look into the crowds of people and find a face that looks kind. Okay? Is that a problem?
It's not a problem.
Sorry.
That's not a problem at all.
You're like crying.
How many? No, I'm like literally like, you know, like I'm trying to laugh. It's like, it's so funny.
It's so dark.
It's so dark.
Trauma.
Yeah,
like, trauma.
Yeah, so we don't have that, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, no Clorox, no mess.
No mess.
I'm happy with my relationships.
Well, you say relationships. At this point, I mean, are relationships like a factor? Are they a need? More married to the career?
No, I think I'm married to the game.
There you go. Married to the game.
Yeah.
That was an honest question too, because you're doing so much. So it's like, you know, the idea of a relationship is dope, but also is it dope, you know, within where you're going, especially when you're going up?
I think that whatever happens will happen.
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
But I'm like kind of laser focused on work.
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 What about the idea of kids?
What about them? They seem cute. That seems like fun, right? Like, oh my God, look at this little cute baby.
Yeah, I mean... Right now, like, are you thinking, like, oh, down the road, I would love,
I'm
like,
freezing my ex, famously.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, you know what we get to here? The truth, very
yeah,
fast.
So, yeah, he wanted to know about my soft scrambled eggs in a refrigerator in upstate New York. Great. We're unpacking here. Am I going to pay you $200 for this hour?
You are fucking amazing. You are absolutely amazing. No, I'm freezing them right now.
Yeah,
actually.
I'm freezing them.
Yes, that's it. Noel.
Noel, trouble.
Noel.
Are there any communities you'd like to apologize to?
Any communities?
Yeah.
Me?
I don't know.
I mean, back in, there was a time where I did and I had to, but I kind of stay out of the trouble. I'm a guy that like stays... I stay off the grid.
You stay off the grid.
I stay off the grid. Like, I'm on the grid, but I'm
You're
off the
grid.
Grid.
Look at those stripes.
I'm on, but I'm off.
Got it.
Right? And I'm also like, here's a good thing. Here's a good thing about me. Like, I'm not a divisive person.
You're commercial.
Very.
You're Hollywood baby. Yeah. You are Mr. Hollywood baby.
What does that mean?
It's Hollywood, baby.
What does that
That's
mean?
That's a good thing. It's your Hollywood, comma, baby.
What does that mean?
It's like you're the grid. You're the Hollywood, baby.
I think I am.
We are in Oprah's former studios that are now your studios. That's Hollywood, baby.
Baby.
Yes.
Hollywood, baby.
West Hollywood, baby.
I am. Okay. You know what I'll say it is? I got it. I fucking got it.
What do you got? Don't swear at me. I'm a
All
woman.
Right. You're right. That was ridiculous. How could I? Noel. So yeah, correct it.
Was it fine?
Yeah, no. I am. I understand that the business and the relationships and the fans all are actually in sync, right? And if you separate them or you act as if they're separate, then you will miss the opportunity to have it all be like one. And the way that I view fans, fan base, and the way that I've been able to watch it grow is because I include them all. So in every business decision, my immediate thought and attachment goes to the global aspect of fans and the presentation for them. So the relationships, the partnerships, they all have to be aligned with who can best help me service the need of getting to all. I want to get to all, and I want to be able to present something that can be deemed as dope for all.
What I think is really impressive about you, and honestly something I look up to and am trying to copy, is that you have such a wide audience. Mm-hmm. And your tours, records, record shattering. Mm-hmm. And I find that to be incredibly impressive, especially when you see like Taylor Swift and Beyonce touring. And then we don't really talk about the comedians who are going there with no dancers, like the production isn't like explosive, and you are able to do those stadiums and hit those beats. Like that's really interesting and really fascinating.
You now like touching that modeling landscape. Your international exposure is so fucking dope with that lens attached to it. And following a through line of opportunity and working that with comedy and using the resources in some regard to attach to comedy is how you start to build that. I remember, when I was trying to do stand-up comedy, and I was trying to just get over there, get over the water.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what I got to do? I got to go backwards. So at this point in the States, I was just starting to get into the theaters and stuff, but I didn't have the big following internationally. So I just started going over there doing the comedy clubs.
Really?
I picked my six to seven that I was going to work, and I just wanted to see where the barrier was. Yeah. Am I changing myself crazy? Can I like still... just went there and I said, let me just rock with what I do and see what the response was. And once I started to get the response, and I said, okay, there's a little bandwidth over here. The first movie I get that pops a little bit and gives me some international bandwidth, I'm just going to start and I'm going to do a little tour. And I didn't care about the numbers.
I love that.
I didn't care about what it was. I didn't care if it was 200 people, 500, 800, 1,000. In that beginning stages, I just wanted to get in a position where I can say I was performing for. And then I kept going. Like, I remember I went to Australia and I did a run of comedy in Australia. And I was like, fuck. I was like, what else is on the outskirts of Australia? And then it was like, okay, well, Auckland, New Zealand. Like
Auckland?
These places are all. So it's like, well, how the fuck can I get there?
Yeah.
And then once you get there, you're like, well, everybody kind of speaks English.
Like Nigeria.
Yeah. Well, duh. Noel. And I was like, I'm just going to work it. Yeah. And then it got bigger and bigger and bigger. But the thing about comedy is like, that's our fucking, we have what a lot of people don't have, which is a floor to always fall on. Mm. And that floor is comfortable. It's not an uncomfortable floor at all. So whether you embrace the comedy club space, the theater space, the arena space, it doesn't matter. You have access to your fans at all times.
Yeah, I think that you are really revolutionary in that space and like are a role model to lots of like aspiring touring comedians. Mm-hmm. And I actually picked my agent because he reps you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Burke.
Yeah. That's my guy.
I was like, Kevin's killing it.
I love Burke.
Yeah.
Do you like Burke?
He's great. He's great. This is my first tour ever in my life.
Really?
Yeah, and I've been doing live forever since before I did any of this.
How many dates are you going to do?
I don't know. I'm touring for 3 weeks, and I could tell you, it's on the back of my shirt.
Okay.
Maybe 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
And through this, right, like after you stop, is there a world of want for a special or anything like that?
Eventually.
That you're thinking about?
Okay. Honestly, I'm getting my sea legs. I want to see, what does tour look like? How do I make it sustainable so that I can do it every year of my life? Mm-hmm. Because it is really such an incredible element of like your work.
Absolutely.
That is huge. Well, it's so huge.
Z-Way, it's dope as fuck to hear you say that. What I would say you should think about doing, right? Like, even if you have your dates and these are your tour dates, there are so many places that you can go to do comedy. And I'm talking domestically.
Yeah.
I will say this on record, and people have no idea. I probably do 150 to 180 shows. And I'm talking different.
A year?
When I tour, I go everywhere. I'm talking about Bismarck, North Dakota. I'm talking about the outskirts of Florida that people wouldn't think had people. I go everywhere. And the reason why, every place that doesn't get stop on a tour, their want and demand for entertainment is extremely high.
Of course.
So when they finally get any type of version of entertainment, the people come out in droves, and you'll find that your business will not only grow, but your ability to really touch all and make all laugh, it's going to be because you go everywhere.
Wow.
And you're going to adapt and move in a manner that other people don't. Because you got to think about it. Everybody focuses on the same 20 to 30 cities, right? And then you go out the country, everybody focuses on the same big countries.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fucking places
that
people skip over.
This is a question for your audience. Would you rather take $500,000 or this conversation with Kevin Hart?
Oh, that's what they, you know, Jay-Z just answered that for the first time.
I know. And this is you're giving them tea right now.
I'm giving them tea. Jay-Z told you take the money though.
What would you say?
I would tell him take the fucking money. You better not. You can sit down with me if you want to. I'll tell you some shit. You still got to go make it happen. Right? It's no guarantee.
Oh my gosh.
It's no guarantee after that. You better go take that money. Don't take the money. Don't tell me you passed it up to talk to me because I ain't giving it to you. So you don't look at me for it. I love that you are doing the tour. I love that you're expanding in that regard. And something else for you just to know, like the comfort that you get of security, because you know, the revenue that we're able to generate.
Yeah.
We control that.
Yeah.
Like you can turn that on and off when you choose.
Yeah.
You can shut it down and they go, I'm going back out. Like I'm not happy with this or any of this right now. I find happiness in this. I'm going back out.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm shutting it down. I'm gonna chill for a while because I want to focus. I want to write.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done writing. I'm gonna go back out. Like it's the dopest thing in the world. And as a brand, which you are becoming as a entity that is focusing on so many different, like, I guess you could say so many different roads that lead you to the same point of success. You know, the more you do, the better. The better for you at this point.
Yeah.
We talked about the one book that you have, and I just want to go back to that for a second because now talking about stand-up, you embarking, like you said, this is your first tour. It's exciting. This is your first book.
Yes.
Is the world of making or writing more? Are you entertaining that thought or
writing another book?
Yeah.
Yes, I am. Writing a book was a bad experience. That's really hard.
Wow.
But I forgot. It's like giving birth to a child where you're like, I could do it again. Not that I've ever given birth to a child, but I imagine it's that easy.
Yeah.
And don't get mad at me, please.
Yeah, no. But
I think, yeah, I would probably write a second book.
Why did you say it was a bad experience?
I mean, it's really hard to write a book. Mm-hmm. You have to sit with your thoughts. And also, I want to write a good book.
Mm-hmm.
I want my audience to feel serviced.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to just throw something out there that exists forever. And it was like, and I didn't put any care into it. And so writing a good book for me was like being vulnerable.
Are you hard on yourself?
Yeah, I'm very critical of myself.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. But even more so, I am private. Like I'm a private person.
Mm-hmm.
Like people don't know where I live. Like you didn't know I was a middle child.
Mm-hmm. This was a discovery, by the way.
Yes, yes, yes. You didn't know Nigerians spoke English.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so for me, it was about like actually sharing parts of myself to make my book better.
Wow.
Yeah, and that took a long time.
And just pretty much for you to open up through stand-up,
yeah.
Here's a question. I mean, how honest do you get within your world of stand-up? Or do you keep it in the space of, you know, what you're observing, what you're reading, the current state of the world
oh,
today?
Oh, no. It's like, it's me, for sure. I mean, I explore my Wiki Feet score in my stand-up. Okay. And that doesn't get any more intimate, knowing
that's extremely intimate.
Yeah, my feet are rated okay on Wiki Feet, and that's not good.
That's the only part of my body that I'm probably, like, really insecure about.
Right, really?
My feet.
Yeah. Same.
No, mine's are... My
feet dogs?
Look like deer hoofs.
Oh,
there's a chance that if you saw my foot,
wait, really?
Like just like only because I have the dark toenails on a couple because I used to run.
Oh, got it.
I used to run marathons and stuff.
Oh, you run marathons?
Yeah. So wow. I fucked my feet up pretty bad.
Damn.
Got the black toenail thing.
Damn, like the ballerina feet.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
got
like
it.
That.
Yeah, the black swan feet.
Yeah. Well, that's not. I don't think we need to double down on it. I got it when you said ballerina. I think you know. Putting the black swan stamp on it. I mean, we get it at that point because I confess, right? It's not like I'm like, hey, everybody, you know, I'm scared or don't want you to ever see it.
Yeah.
If you ever see me on a beach, I like dig my feet into the sand so that way if I ever take pictures. Well, no. Why would
I? Are you sure? Are you sure?
I'm positive. Don't search me.
Keep talking.
Just don't search
okay.
me.
Okay.
What if I was?
You probably are. No, you're a very famous person. You go to Bismarck, North Dakota.
Don't fucking. Because that's going to hurt my feelings if I'm on there.
I'm on there. My thing is okay. It's 2 out of 5.
Well, I think I'm.
Kevin Hart.
I think I got a -3 if that's the case. If
you you're on here.
Well, don't do that.
Won't say it. Just bleep everything out that I say.
You're lying.
Deadass. Oh my God. No, your score is nice. Look at this. Your score is nice. 4 out of 5 stars.
What the fuck?
That's nice. Better than me.
What the fuck? What is this?
Can you guys zoom in? Don't worry. I'll send you the link. And I want to see like a scroll over the shoulder of me right here as he looks at his feet.
Split screen.
That's your foot. Can we read the comments? Let me read the comments.
No.
I'm going to read the comments.
Don't read the comments. I'm trying to see how bad they are.
No, it's four.
Man,
you have a good
score. The dick just popped up at the bottom though. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. It's very horny. Yeah. Did you know 12 million people go to this website a month?
How do you know this?
Because I got fact checked in the New Yorker because my book got accepted in the New Yorker about WikiFeet. Turn on. OMG. Yas, Kevin. It's really just his busted looking toenails. Everything else about his feet is sexy. What? His feet are out through this whole thing. These are real comments. These are real comments.
By the way, I'm laughing that I'm on it. She goes, yeah, of course you're on there. I'm like, nah, I ain't
zoom
on
in, zoom in.
Wiki feet.
Size 8.5.
That is my shoe size.
Okay, 07, 06, 1979. So
yes,
you're a Cancer?
I am a Cancer.
Okay, United States. Wow.
Well, yeah. Will you stop reading my stuff? Goodness gracious. What are you? What's your sign?
A Pisces.
Oh my God.
Genius, angel, sweetheart, baby,
love. Psychic. I wasn't going there. No.
Where were you
going
to go?
I wasn't going there.
Rihanna's a Pisces.
I know a lot of people that are Pisces.
Trevor Noah's a Pisces.
I know a lot of people that are Pisces.
Justin Bieber's a Pisces. I found this
on the web. Oh God. Is that about my feet?
It's about his feet.
I found this about
that's
his.
That's so funny.
Kevin's feet are fucked
Kevin's
up.
Kevin's dogs. No, your score is good. 4.3 is good.
I mean,
out of five.
Duh. You didn't think I knew that?
Do you do a pedicure?
Now I do. Okay. I take care of my feet now.
And do you paint them?
I don't paint them, no. I'm a well-groomed man, though. I take extremely good care of myself. I'm in love with self-care.
Okay.
I can admit that.
Okay, I love that.
I'm like on the higher side of like ridiculousness.
Wait, really? You get like IV drips of like
vitamins? No, I don't do that, but I'm big on like, I have a hyperbaric chamber. I have like a LED bed.
And how often do you use these things?
I mean, probably like
every day,
4 or 5 times a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hyperbaric chamber.
Well,
wow.
You know what? Let me tell you why I got it. I was like, you know, I got injured again. I'm a big workout nut. And my last injury came from just running. Yeah. Like I fucked myself up running. And I was like, I got to start taking better care of myself with different types of treatment. So anything that's in the world of healing or longevity, I was like, okay, I'm gonna invest in. So that's what that was about. But the hyperbaric chamber is real. Like,
what does it do? Does it make you younger?
I think honestly, I'm 19 again.
I think so.
Something's happening where you do feel energized.
I don't know how old you are. So that's...
I'm 44.
Okay, so...
I'm 44.
Black don't crack.
See, I think that from a space of feeling and improving, like, my aches and all of that shit aren't the same.
Okay.
So cold tubbing, LED bed. It's like this thing called a sauna pod.
A sauna pod?
Yeah, it's like you get in it and it's like...
And it heats you up like a microwave.
But then it's like heats you up and then it's like a massage and it's got like a lot of shit to it.
Okay. Hey, maybe that's my next investment.
Well, I also could be falling for a lot of placebos. I want to make that very clear too. Like, because they say it's going to do something, I do it. I'm like, I think I do feel that. Like,
you're right. I am stronger. Yeah, that's harder, crazy. Better, faster.
You know what? My hip ain't hurting. I think this goddamn red light is working.
Yeah. My liver has never felt cleaner.
Yeah. Look at my face. Does it seem like, does my skin shine a little more? I think this shit is giving me a pop. I am definitely that
guy.
Wow.
Okay. I might try it, but I'm like, I don't think I take care of myself enough.
What is your...
I take care of my mind though. I read.
That's the best thing ever. There's nothing better than feeding the brain. Yeah. What's your hobby outside of the business? What do you like to do? Uh-oh.
Work. What do I like to do? Read the news?
That's a
hobby. What do I like to do?
Yes, you have
that. Hike.
There you go.
I hike a lot.
By yourself?
I have a dog who's very large. And so we hike together.
Okay. That's a hobby.
Yeah, that's a hobby.
I'm not mad at that.
Walking, but I'm listening to the news as I do it.
So you're news all the time.
Yeah, I like the news. I like to listen to the news.
Are you deeply embedded into it? Like
until it's time to turn it off.
You pissed. Like, how much news are you watching? Like, are you talking?
I don't watch the news. I listen to it, or I get it on TikTok.
how many hours are you listening?
Honestly, like an hour and a half every morning, like okay. On a hike.
All right, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's not like I'm wild.
Yeah,
like, I'm
just
going
to make sure. Yeah. I want to make sure you're not like the
crazy person. No.
Like,
I'm healthy.
The time.
I'm a well-adjusted person who doesn't have a hyperbaric chamber and a sauna pod in my
basement. You can't use the... That's what you just did is unfair.
I use soap and water for my face.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, I never said that I did not use soap and water. I think everyone heard me. This is... You know what? Let me just take a second to say I know how that could sound.
I am the proletariat, okay? One of you.
That's amazing. What a word.
What a word.
Yeah. Proletariat. Letariat. Holy shit, you're educated. Fucking well-read you are. What I want to say to you is that, and I mean what I'm about to say, I am very much a supporter of the fraternity of comedy, right? And I feel like our fraternity is so dope because it's not just about comedy. And the comedians that understand that and figure that out and use comedy to basically get them in the doors to do more are the comedians that not only win, but they're the comedians that achieve the different levels of success. And from the outside looking in, I applaud you in understanding early on, like, how many doors you can go through. I love that you're touring, and I love that that's a focus. I can't wait to see you get to the point where the idea of a comedy special pops up and you're like, okay, I'm doing this now as well. Just remember what I said, that one feeds the other. The comedy, the writing, the author, the actress, the model, they all can feed
each
other.
Wait, you said that?
Well, I told you that. They go with each other.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that you offer a really valuable lesson because talking about multi-hyphenates, you are, any one of your singular focuses would be an incredible career.
Well, I thank you for that. And I really do mean what I'm saying. I'm a fan.
Thank you.
I'm a fucking fan. And I can't wait to see what you do next because although you didn't say it today, I just think that the star of you is yet to really present itself fully.
Thank you. That's
and
so sweet.
The TV or the movies or, you know, the next version of host, the comedy that can grow and get as big as you want it to, it's going to happen. And I think the world's in for a dope ass treat because we've got doses. And I mean it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll say Noel.
Ah, Noel.
Noel. Is that you did the dab?
Yeah, I've been dabbing a lot. People hate it.
Well, it's kind of been, I think it's kind of been done for a while now.
It's so. Back.
All right. Well, you know what? It's all about what you feel. Ladies and gentlemen, you already know what this is. This is Gold Mines. You know what we do here. We get inside the minds of amazing comedians, amazing people, entrepreneurs, multi-hyphens. It doesn't matter what. On this show, it's all about the discovery. And I hope that you got a good feel for what I discovered today. And that's just dope energy. Dope energy, dope spirit, a dope vibe. Gems were dropped. Hopefully you did your job and picked them up. If not, well, that's on you. God damn it.
Wow.
It's on you. Can't wait till I see you next time. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. And I can't wait for people to go to wikifeet.com and vote for his feet and my feet.
All right.
Thank you.
Or they can go and they can go get your book.
Oh, yes.
Which just dropped in October. Let's plug that one more time, please.
Yes. Black Friend Essays, available on Audible and where books are sold.
There you go. Look at that. Well, you didn't. Okay. No. Thank you. I'll see y'all next time. Bye.
Gold Mines with Kevin Hart is a SiriusXM and Laugh Out Loud radio production. Executive produced by Kevin Hart, Ty Randolph, Mike Stein, Brian Smiley, Eric Eddings, and Eric Weil. Produced by Danny Sellers and Leslie Guam, and engineered by Danny Sellers.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of body plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch Bonnie plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.